I had been intending to discuss this morning the number of animals that went into Noah's ark, but something during the week made me change my mind. I want to speak instead about Jean Vanier, who died last week and who's been much commented on in the public media over the last few days. Most of us at some point meet people whom we are aware are saints. There's some particular goodness, some holiness, some quality about us that really strikes us. And I think it's very unfortunate if you've never met a saint. It's rather more unusual to meet somebody who is quite clearly going to become a saint in the technical sense. Someone about whom you just know that the church is going to get round to adding them to its calendar and naming feast days after them. Jules met Jean Vanier about 30 years ago. And he made an unforgettable impression, and she said, I knew as soon as I'd spoken to him that here was somebody who just communicated God in a quite exceptional way and who's going to be named a saint one day. I never met him, but I met his very remarkable sister, Thérèse. And to be honest, I hope the Roman Catholic Church eventually canonizes Jean Vanier and Thérèse together, a brother and sister combination of saints. I think that'd be really lovely and fitting. He was, many of you will have heard this in recent days, originally a naval officer with a promising naval career in front of him. He happened to be to visit a hostel for men who suffered from severe mental learning difficulties. And he was terribly depressed by the visit. Forget how many men they were, there were a fair number of them. And they'd been parked out of sight, out of mind, in a hostel, subjected to a completely stultifying routine in which there was really no joy and no real living. Well, some of us might have agitated about this, written letters to MPs, tried to effect change through campaigning. He very practically bought a small house, and he invited two of the men from the hostel to come and live with him and with someone else in that house. And so he began a small domestic community of people who were, so to speak, fully functioning enough to be able to hold down jobs as he could and earn money, and those who couldn't do any of those things, but who nevertheless were able to contribute to the housekeeping and the looking after of the common life. It was not easy. It wasn't. One mustn't be too rosy-tinted about it. It was a way of life that was demanding. The people that he lived with were sometimes very demanding indeed. But he founded this little community of love, and other people came and visited him and were inspired to join them or to go and do similar things themselves. And so the number of little communities spread. And there's now, I forget whether it's 130-something or 150-something large houses around the world. There's one in London, in West Dulwich, which I visited when I was a theological student, and it's a visit I've never forgotten. I think there's an interesting practical lesson about how you affect change for the better, by just doing something small that you have it in your power to do. As I say, Jean Vanier didn't intend to found a movement or to create 150 large houses. He just cared about a situation and did what he was able to do, very boldly and imaginatively, to make a contribution to make it better. The great journey that begins with a single step, with one man's taking of responsibility. What can I do about this? Rather than how can I tell somebody else more important than me to do something about it? But there's enormous, I think, theological importance and challenge in Jean Vanier's work. What is the image of God in which we are made? It says in Genesis, in the image of God he made them. Male and female, he made them in the image of God, he made them. What is this image of God that is in us? If you'd ask the average early modern Western theologian, they'd have suggested that the image of God was something to do with rationality. It's what distinguishes, they would say, human beings from the rest of the animal kingdom. Rationality and the ability to reason about our decisions and their consequences. I'm very sorry to say that there are a good number of early modern and medieval theologians who also suggest that because men are more rational than women, men are more in the image of God than women are. It is not a doctrine I find in Genesis or indeed anywhere in Scripture. But is rationality really what makes us in the image of God? And the people who lived in the Ash communities pose that question. If you suffer from severe learning difficulties, if you suffer from that and severe sensory deprivation, so that you have a very minimal sort of relation with the world around you, what's the image of God in you? And Jean Vanier saw very clearly that it was something to do with love and with relationship. That God is not simply loving, God is love. God in his inner life of Trinity, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, ceaselessly dancing about each other in self-giving love. God is love. It's what God is made up of and what God is. And our image of Godness is our capacity to be in loving relationship. That's what makes us God-like.